This month, we've already spent two Sundays on outreach and missions, such as the Just Sunday at the beginning of this month and last Sunday on God's love for the marginalized in the Middle East. So I just want to continue with this theme this morning to focus on God's work through us, on our neighbor, particularly through sending out the 12 disciples. And let's see what we can learn from Jesus with this. So let's close our eyes and pray. Yeah, Lord God, we're so thankful for you. May I ask that you to anoint me with your spirit to speak your life-transforming words. And also, may you till the soils of all the hearts of the people here and also listening in podcasts, that we may be good soils for your seeds to grow and bear fruit for you, for your kingdom and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let us turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 7 to 13. It's about Jesus sending out the 12. So I'll read it. Mark chapter 6, verse 7 to 13. And he summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. And he instructed them that they should take nothing for their journey except a mere staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belt, but to wear sandals. And he added, do not put on two tunics. And he said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave town. And any place that does not receive you or listen to you, as you go out from there, shake the dust off the soles of your feet for a testimony against them. They went out and preached that men should repent. And they were casting out many demons and were anointing with oil many sick and healing them. So the background to this is that beginning of chapter 6, it talks about Jesus visits his hometown and he was rejected. And because there were a lot of unbelief, all Jesus could do was only be able to lay hands on a few people and heal them. And then next, it talks about Jesus sending out the 12. So here, I would talk about the significance of the way that Jesus sent out these 12 disciples, and let's see what we can learn from them. So my first point is, when you do this, evangelize or go out in the name of Jesus, send out in pairs. That's the first thing stood out to me. That's in verse 7. So why send out in pairs? So sending out in pairs, you have strength in partnership and accountability. So for example, as you know, in accountability and things, a person is less likely to fall into temptation when accompanied by a partner. And also, when you operate in pairs, not only do partners protect each other from physical danger, they could also provide companionship and encourage each other in difficult circumstances. And also, in you might remember in Ecclesiastes 4:10, it says that, for if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion, but woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. So, yeah, the sub-point of this is strength in partnership and accountability. And the next sub-point related to send out in pairs would be more than one person, the more people you have, it builds up credibility. You might remember in Deuteronomy 15:19, it talks about two or three witnesses, right? And I know that at this point it talks about you need two or three witnesses to convict a person of a crime. perhaps maybe a single witness could be more prone to make mistakes. And if you think along this reasoning, one witness has less credibility than two. So if you think about sending out disciples to bear witness, more than one, so in pairs would be good or better. You could think about Jesus could have sent them out in groups of three or more. So why pairs? In my experience, I've seen that if you've sent out groups of, let's say, three or more, often two of the three people usually form a stronger bond together, so leaving the third person not quite integrated into the group. So sometimes two might be more effective than three. So these are the two sub-points. And I thought about sending out in pairs. So if you go deeper in that, let's say you've got a bigger group of 12 people, so you get six pairs, right? How would you pair them up? Would you pair up a stronger disciple with, let's say, a weaker or newer disciple? Would you pair up disciples that they know each other well, such as Simon Peter with his brother? Or would you pair up people that are very different from each other so that they learn about and be able to recognize different strengths of the others? How would you pair up your disciples? Might be actually an interesting question to ask. Ask Jesus, how did he pair them up? Did he pair up differently every time than he sent out his disciples? My second point is based on verse 8 and 9. Is trust in God's providence as you answer his call. So verse 8 and 9 is, and he instructed them that they should take nothing for their journey except a mere staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belt, not to wear sandals. And to wear sandals, and he added, do not put on two tunics. So this indicate that we need to trust in God's providence as you answer his call. So when we don't take anything, just take a staff and sandals and only a single tunic, it represents that Jesus only wants us to bring what is essential and to have faith to trust him to provide and meet all our needs. And this is even at the start of journey. Jesus bring no bread, no special preparation is needed. All they had beforehand was spending time with Jesus, and that's all they needed to be sent out. So it needs faith in Jesus. And also, as I thought about, it would be quite comforting, actually very comforting to know that as we answer his call, all we need is to have spent time with him and then obey him and continue to trust him. And we don't really need much more to move forward. And then I thought a bit more about the context of the first century Jewish community. And it's actually quite different from the modern cultures that we have these days. Because in those days, the Jewish hospitality requires that the villagers or each community receive and provide food and lodging for travelers. So it might be actually quite understandable that they don't actually need to worry too much about accommodations or basic food. But so in the modern days, it might be prudent for us to be a bit more prepared, but also while being ready to receive God's move to meet our needs in different ways as well, even though we're not ready. And in terms of money, and all that. If we look back and on how poor receive money or support, that he accepted offerings from churches for his missionary journeys, and most of his personal needs are actually covered by his own making and selling of tents. So I guess just remind us that when we do get sent out, that some provision from ourselves might also be needed as well. And a side note to this, that something else that also jumps out to me, I don't know if it will interest you, is that when Jesus makes these instructions about bring almost nothing, it reminded me about the Israelites' experience at the time of Exodus a little bit. So what I mean by that is, in the time of Exodus, Israelites did not carry any bread. And God provided the manna, right? So simply, God provided. And the second thing around Exodus times is that Israelites didn't really have much money. They were like slaves to Egypt. But when they left, God provided gold to Israelites, so money to them when they left Egypt. So in many ways, well, there's some, just share some parallels I saw. The next point would be verse 10 to 11. So I just read that. And he said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave town. Any place that does not receive you or listen to you as you go out from there, shake the dust off the sole of your feet for a testimony against them. So my point here would be, do not be distracted by the neighborhood and rejections as you go out to serve God. Do not be distracted by the neighborhood, by the environment, and any rejections. So why did Jesus tell them not to change lodging? I thought about it in a practical sense. And it seems actually quite sensible to stay at one place until you leave. Because, it prevents you offending or embarrassing the host. If, for example, if you're the disciples and then you move from one host home to another, in some way, you could be moving to a more suitable, more convenient, and a better place, right? That's probably the only reason to move, unless the Holy Spirit tells you. So if you don't stay at one place, it could be embarrassing, offending the host. And the other reason I thought that it helps the disciple to be focused on the task at hand, and not to be distracted by any concerns on the physical comfort or discomfort. And we have a great example of this by Paul. He wasn't concerned with any physical discomfort. Remember how much hardship he lived out in the course of his ministry, with shipwreck, hungry, and sleep in different places. And then about the rejection is, in terms of shaking off the dust, the cultural background was that when the Jews came back from the Gentile lands, and they do sometimes, they would shake off pagan dust as a gesture of cleansing and contempt. And when the disciples shake off the dust of an unreceptive village, they are saying that God's judgment on that village, and that they would be washed. It's indication that they're washing their hands of their further responsibility for that village. So the gesture served as a warning to the village that rejected them, and frees up the disciples to move to more fertile land. So the disciples' responsibility is ultimately faithful proclamation, and it's God's responsibility for the results of the proclamation. So point three is, do not be distracted by the neighborhood and rejections. And the fourth point, verse 12 to 13, it reads, they went out and preached that men should repent. And they were casting out many demons and were anointing with oil many sick people and healing them. The point I got would be, focus on the word and the power of God. Focus on the word and the power of God when we go out to evangelize and to serve. So here, the emphasis for the disciples for this particular journey was on preaching, on casting out demons and healing the sick. And we know that the disciples are ordinary men, but they have an extraordinary and powerful and mighty God working in the midst. The disciples simply went where Jesus sent them and do what Jesus told them. And they accomplished great things in Christ's name. This is only possible when somebody obeys their call and physically go out to the world preaching the word, laying hands on the sick. So really, that's any of us, when we get called out to serve God. And at this point, maybe I'll invite Pastor Andrew to play some music and lead the worship. So my question for all of us is, have you answered your call as Christ's disciple to go out? Jesus calls the apostles and sent them on a mission to announce a message of repentance, cure the sick, and cast off demons. Notice how he sent them out in pairs, instructing them to trust in the providence by taking nothing for their journey. They were to be dependent entirely on God and the presence of God in one another. The goal was to go from house to house bringing the good news. And really, we are being sent out each day to bring the good news. And we are to engage those who don't know Jesus. And we really need the awareness, the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit to bring us to see and open our eyes to see what God's doing all around us, so that we may join Him to do the wonderful work. All we have to do is to trust Him and answer the call, and He'll provide all else that's needed. And we shouldn't get anything, the neighborhood or any rejection to distract us. We just need to focus on the word and the power of God moving in our midst.
All that I am, all that I have, I lay them down before You, O Lord. All my regrets, all my acclaims, the joy and the pain, I'm making them yours. All that I am, all that I have, I lay them down before you, O Lord. All my regrets, all my acclaims, the joy and the pain, I'm making them yours. Lord, I offer my life to you, everything I've been through. Use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you. As a pleasing sacrifice, Lord, I offer you my life. Things in the past, things yet unseen, wishes and dreams that are yet to come true. All of my hopes, all of my plans, my heart and my hands are lifted to you. Lord, I offer my life to you, everything I've been through. Use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my Lord, I offer my life to you, everything I've been through. Use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life. Lord, I offer my life to you, everything I've been through. Use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life.
Yes, Lord, we offer up our lives to you. We really want to be the salt and light for your kingdom, for your glory. Please, help us to see all that you want us to join around you. We don't want to be busy people getting to too many things. That's not your calling for us right at this point. Help us just to see what you're doing so that we can join you. Be a blessing and bless others too. And as we do this, we go deeper, deeper in love and in intimacy with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So let us turn to our focus on praying for our community. Let's lift up those who are suffering from cancer, that even in the midst of this difficulty and suffering, that they too could be God's salt and light, particularly for others who are suffering similarly. Please lift them up. We also pray for those who don't know Jesus yet, that God's children will be sent to them, and God's word will be made alive in them, so that Lord Jesus, we do become their Savior. Let's lift them up too. We continue to pray for those suffering from other infirmities in our community. Yes, if there's anyone particular you felt led to pray for, just pick one person and pray for that. Let's pray for those who are looking for a job, that even in the midst of searching, that they see God is walking with them, that God is providing all their needs, and they just give glory and honor to Him in the midst of waiting. Our mission focus today is China. Lift up the different church plants with SP, particularly our lead pastor, P. Han Su, P. Ricky, our partner, the Chong family, and the Matt and Nate's parents, and all the churches in China. Please lift up the board as well. P. Sam's traveling. Cover him as well as cover the board members. I'm sure this season's Q4 is quite a busy season to get ready for the next year and complete this year's review and all that as well. So may they always be able to spend quality time with God and abide in Him. Let's also pray for the Yan Adults Group, with P. Kenny leading, particularly for Yan Man's accountability and Yahweh Eats. Also, some men's ministry has completed the retreat. So, yeah, pray that God continue to move the hearts of the men. And yes, also, women's ministry upcoming retreat next weekend. Yes, ask God to continue to bless SP through the building and resources and the benefactor, that God's abundant blessing will enable the person to make the right move at his perfect timing. Also pray for God's vision funds for SP. Let's pray for God's moving powerfully in the midst of our house church gathering tonight, that He will continue to cause us to have compassionate heart and to move to love our neighbor, particularly the persecuted church in Middle East and those who's marginalized and suffering there. Lord God, we thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to hear your words and learn from you, Lord Jesus. May you continue to speak through us throughout today, that we may be sensitive to your leading and obey you and see the goodness come out for all the different situations around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So please continue to spend time for your personal prayer, and have a great day. See you tomorrow.